Welcome back to the Microsoft Virtual Academy, and today we're going to be talking about a fascinating topic of how technology can help to grow your business. I know that some of us are very technology wise and this just comes naturally, while some of the SMEs listening to this recording right now is quite wary of technology and doubt whether technology can help really to grow your business. I'm Catherine Young, I'm the owner of Thinkroom Consulting, and in studio with me, Chris Williams. Chris, it's lovely to have you here, and we're eager to learn about this topic in more detail today. Introduce yourself to the audience. I don't think they've met you before.
Yeah, so hi, I'm Chris Williams. I work at Microsoft on the BizSpark team.
Yeah.
Basically work with startups on their technical issues. My experience has been basically gone from working in IT infrastructure per se,
right.
Active Directory,
right.
To moving into development, moving up to senior development, system architect sort of level, where I then moved over to Nokia and actually evangelized the Windows Phone platform, which was a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
And then, over a course and period, I built up relationships and this opportunity presented itself. And here I am.
That's fantastic. Now, I work with Chris from time to time, and let me tell you, that he's smiling, but one of the most hardworking, most workers that I know of in the business. So welcome, Chris. I'm happy to have you in studio.
Today,
we want to be talking about technology and how technology can help to grow businesses. And we're going to be talking about cloud and a little bit about Office 365, Azure. But let's talk about the benefits of using cloud. Now, firstly, I think maybe just very briefly explain what cloud is and then what the benefits are.
So, I mean, often you see the sort of catchphrase, cloud is just a computer in somebody else's data center. And generally it's true, but I think the thing that people forget is the scale that exists behind the cloud. Mm. So if you look at a traditional ISP, it's a VM. It's a VM on somebody's premise.
VM being a virtual machine.
It's very limited in terms of what you can do. You want to grow that machine. It's a case of, okay, let's shut it down, respec it, boot it back up again. You're looking at up to a day's downtime, depending on the ISP's flexibility around that. So when we talk about the cloud, it's the on-demand scale. So suddenly it's being able to do stuff very, very rapidly. And I click a button, 5 minutes later, things are ready and off we go. And so that's the first concept. The other thing is the access to it. So in terms of, locations. So we know ISPs are normally local. So we've got ISPs in South Africa and we tend to handle it from a South African perspective.
And just for the listeners, ISPs are internet service providers.
So I want to now grow my business outside of the borders of my country. How do I get that data to those regions effectively? And so cloud sort of plays that role as well. Suddenly now I have data centers around the world that I can move my system between and optimize the way that it runs. And so my clientele can be in America, in Ireland, in Australia, and they can have the best experience possible.
I mean, that's fascinating what you're saying. So even for those SMEs who are stubbornly saying they will not go onto the cloud because they don't trust the cloud, because we get that from time to time. In fact, if you have a website, you already are.
Yes, 100%. So whether you're hosting at a local ISP or in a cloud service provider, your stuff is public and it's accessible on the web. Even to the point where people say, no, but we're on a VPN. There is still ways and means to find access to that public port. So it is a public port. Yes, it's a private connection, but you're still creating a connection over a public network.
So you are influenced by the cloud, whether you like it or not, and it's good. So what are the benefits? Why should we be using cloud?
So I think for the first thing, it's probably redundancy.
Right.
So redundancy is a big thing, especially when we're sitting in Africa. We know that South Africa, we struggle with load shedding quite frequently. And so that does cause interruption in service. So depending on the size of your ISP locally, they may or may not be impacted by that. The next thing is obviously connectivity. So with our sort of local infrastructure around that, yes, it's improved a lot over the last few years, but it's still not at the level that it probably needs to be to really be redundant. So we look at that as a sort of starting point. It's just the redundancy and the access to your service. Then the next thing is probably security. And a lot of people go, but if we put it into the Microsoft cloud, is it more secure than a local ISP? The question is there, how many resources can a local ISP possibly employ to actually manage that security level? Microsoft has a dedicated team that literally play this back and forth game all day long as hacking and who can protect and so on and so forth. And they have the budget to do that sort of thing. They understand the environment from a technical perspective and are able to dig down to the really, really root level security points that most network administrators don't really understand.
Yeah.
So you're sort of starting at that point and you're going, well, is it more secure?
Mm.
Generally, I believe it is. And then we can sort of go down to the ISO certification and so on and so forth that we have. That is there to protect your information.
Exactly. And then what about this need for constant backups? That will go.
So depending on how you utilize a cloud service, some of that stuff will fall away.
Mm.
So, I mean, obviously we can get quite technical in terms of the different ways of approaching cloud.
Yeah.
So a lot of people land up with the virtual machine.
Yeah.
So your backup there is really a data perspective.
Mm.
But, you know, maybe you want to do a bit more than that.
Mm.
And so that's generally going to become your responsibility. If you start to move over to what you refer to as a platform service, generally a lot of that backup and redundancy is automatically handled for you.
Right.
So for me as a developer,
right.
I don't need to worry about SQL backups.
Okay.
So suddenly now it just takes that load away.
Yeah. So it does it automatically for you.
Yes.
Wow, that is fantastic. And then what about accessibility of documents?
Documents in the sense of?
Oh, so I have just completed an Excel spreadsheet and I have a team member in another city and we need to share or...
Yeah, so I mean, we know of a lot of documents sharing platforms.
Yeah.
Obviously, OneDrive is our internal one.
Yeah.
So that generally is a case of, well, firstly, do I have connectivity?
Mm.
I think that's going to be one thing that guys tend to forget is if I do this thing, it's suddenly available to you.
Yeah.
So you've got to understand that connectivity is something you've got to be aware of. But that syncing and making available of the documentation is facilitated by a cloud service of some kind.
Yeah.
So whether it's a Dropbox, whether it's a OneDrive, whether it's Google Drive, ultimately that's going to facilitate that process for you.
Yeah. Okay, so that's fascinating. So for the SMEs listening to this recording, it's interesting to note that you are able to produce documents, save it into the cloud, and if you have connectivity, which Chris is saying, somebody else in your business can access that document from wherever they are, if they have the right access, of course, to get in. But it's possible to be mobile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when we talk about this mobility of workforce, that's generally the idea is, especially with small business, I don't want to have my whole team sitting in my office all day necessarily.
Mm.
I need them out in the field doing things.
Mm.
How do you mobilize them?
Yeah.
So giving them access to the resources that your business has, it's really important that the cloud sort of facilitates that for them. So the documents on a OneDrive situation. The next thing that might be exposed by that is collaboration on the documents.
Right.
So a couple of the sort of document service providers allow for you to collaborate. So for example, OneDrive, I can go and open the document, you can go and open that same document at the same time. I can see your changes in real time.
Yes.
So that now just allows that flexibility of, hey, we've got this PowerPoint presentation, we've got to present to this business at 12 o'clock today.
Right.
It's 5:00, by the way, this information needs to come in.
Yes.
So I can sit there preparing myself while somebody else actually maintains and updates the information accordingly if it needs to be done.
That is fabulous. And like you say, it's safe, right? So the reluctance of many SMEs that we work with, that's actually not needed.
Correct.
Yeah.
So if we talk about, I just want to go back and highlight something on that safety. One thing that the guys will tend to forget is that safety is going to come down to you as an individual eventually.
Course.
So your passwords and your protection of your own credentials is just as important.
Makes sense.
So the platform itself is secure from they detecting for hackers trying to brute force in and stuff like that. But from a perspective of, hey, by the way, I've chosen to use the most simple password on the internet.
Password.1.
Yeah. You know, that's your own responsibility. Unfortunately, there's very little that one can do about
it. Of course. So make sure that you do your part of the security, of course, and then it's safe. I get that. Office 365.
Yes.
What are the benefits for small business owners to use Office 365?
Right. So if we look at the Office 365 platform, it's an interesting sort of concept. Having come from the place where I used to implement the Exchange servers and Active Directory on-premise, you can straight away see the value proposition there. I was basically fulfilling a role of an IT engineer on-premise.
Right.
I had to maintain this environment. Being in South Africa, every Monday morning we'd arrive back, the Exchange database has fallen over again thanks to another power cut.
Yeah.
So now suddenly we move into Office 365. It's Exchange in the cloud as the first starting point.
Right.
So suddenly now my emails are backed up.
Okay.
Wow. You know?
Exactly.
And I didn't have to do anything to get that.
Exactly.
There. My storage space on those email accounts is far greater than the default settings out of the box of an Exchange server on-prem.
Yes.
And now I have the ability to get my mobile devices connected to this environment, which if you wanted to do through Exchange, you normally had to publicly expose your own server in your office environment.
Okay.
So that obviously exposed your office to certain vulnerabilities if you weren't ready for them.
Right.
So that sort of opens up that platform, just from the emailing perspective.
Yeah.
Then obviously there's other services that tie on top of that Office 365.
Right.
So I think the confusion sort of sets in with Office 365 is everybody thinks of it as just pure Office.
Yeah.
Word, Excel, PowerPoint.
Yeah.
That's obviously the desktop client applications that one would use.
Right.
And yes, those products are included in certain tiers of the Office 365 licensing. Generally, what we're looking at is the cloud services. So Exchange, SharePoint Online, which effectively is OneDrive for Business. The two kind of actually overlap, so they do have two slightly different flavors inside of Office 365.
Okay.
And Sky for Business. Sky for Business generally allows for that team collaboration via voice, instant messaging. I have presence, I can ping you on your cell phone and actually message you. And that whole conversation is recorded, and I can actually go back to that history in my Outlook.
Yeah.
So suddenly, you know, I start to be able to collaborate a lot better with my team. Both locally and globally.
In fact, Chris, you make a good point. In our business, we have resources in seven or eight African countries, and really Skype for Business is the primary way how we communicate. It almost literally feels, I said to somebody the other day, it feels like they work in the office next door because they're always online. I can see when they're not. I can see, you know, you can go and track your conversations, go, oh, what did they say? I can't remember. So really Skype for Business, for our business, definitely, without a doubt, it's working.
Yeah.
So, and then what about, so the single sign-on, can you explain that to us?
Okay, so what's, the whole concept of single sign-on is I need to remember one username and password.
Yes.
And so what is, what effectively I'm getting access to is I can go on my device and log in with that username and password, or I can go to an internet cafe and theoretically get to that same account using the same username and password.
Yeah.
And I can access a number of different forms of my account. So whether it's my emails, whether it's documents I'm looking on the SharePoint or the OneDrive environments, so that I can now collaborate with you using Excel online or Word online. That's where that single sign-on is really going to be beneficial.
Okay.
What is also interesting is with Windows 10 now, I'm able to actually do an authentication against my Office 365. So I can register my machine into that domain. Which means, so if you've ever dealt with corporate businesses, the machine's always on a domain.
Right.
So that now means that I can log in with this credential and an administrator can manage that username and password for me. So now with it being an Office 365 cloud environment, it means that, hey, I'm in the field, I forgot my password. Guess what? It's your phone, your administrator, they can reset it for you. You try again, and you've got connectivity, you'll be able to get back into your computer. So even the logging into your machine experience is a single sign-on.
That's very nice, because very often small businesses don't have the luxury of that, and that's a great benefit. Collaboration we've spoken about, and then you don't have to invest in a lot of infrastructure, right?
Yeah, so that's exactly the point. I don't need to now have four servers to run this environment in my office. It's all run in the cloud. The other sort of thing that we tend to forget is just the ease of use. So I don't need a high-level IT personnel to run this environment from the start.
Yeah.
Yes, I can get behind the scenes and I can get very technical in there if I wanted to.
Yeah.
And there's partners that are able to do that for you. But from a go-to-market perspective or just that first entry into that environment, it's very, very easy to manage.
Yeah.
I can go and add users, I can manage their passwords for them, and I can help them sort of just start using the platform.
Yeah. That's absolutely lovely. So SMEs, Office 365 sounds like a fabulous product to use. And as Chris is saying, it's not only email, Word, Microsoft, Excel and PowerPoint. It's much more than that. There's the collaboration tool that you've spoken about. There's the SharePoint and OneDrive that you've spoken about. So really go check that out. It sounds like it makes it easy so that you can focus on business growth as a small business rather than having to worry about a server sitting with your Exchange on.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly
back at the office. Azure.
Yes.
Talk to us about that.
Right, so I think what happens with Azure is every time we speak to people about Azure, they just get overwhelmed. It is an overwhelming platform to start with. And I think it's purely just the scale of what it is. And I think that kind of speaks back to why it's a cloud platform.
Right.
So a lot of guys will tend to come in and they just start to play with the virtual machine thing because guess what, we know that. We've had that at our ISP, we can do that here. Or they might play with the web apps.
Yes.
So obviously a little bit technical, but the web app scenario works very similar to the way that the ISP hosting your website works.
Right.
The control panel looks very similar.
Right.
You'll recognize a lot of the stuff in there in terms of the way that you configure your website to run. And so that's a sort of starting point, but really when you start to get under the hood, it starts to get very, very interesting. My one colleague refers to it as trying to drink from a fire hose.
Yeah.
Just the amount of stuff that's in there can be a little bit overwhelming.
Yeah.
And so the sort of starting point for most businesses would be to just find those sort of small things that work for you in there, and then start to scale from that. Learn, adapt, grow. Continuously sort of evolve into the platform. So we talked a little bit around the VM and the PaaS offerings, right?
Yeah.
So the big thing there is to understand the difference. Do I want to use virtual machines, or do I want to start to utilize the platform that Azure is?
Yes.
And why would I want to use that, the platform?
Yes.
And generally, that's a lot of discussions we have with a lot of our startups, is how do you take your solution and move it into the platform?
The platform.
And the reason why we want to do that is because we believe that's where it's really cost effective.
Mm.
Suddenly now, if I look at a VM or a virtual machine, that thing has to run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week,
right,
at a particular configuration.
Right.
Means I'm going to be billed for that configuration.
Right,
if
right.
I'm running on a platform as a service,
yeah,
that thing scales on demand,
yeah,
and automatically for you. A couple,
yeah,
of clicks of a button and voila, there,
yeah,
you go. It can,
yeah,
now scale to multiple instances of itself.
Yeah. And why the resistance of not wanting to go to platform straight away? Because of the complexity?
There's a little bit of...
Or the perceived complexity.
Yeah, the perceived complexity.
Yeah.
Quite honestly, it's actually really simple.
Yeah.
It's probably, if you are doing the development there, maybe one or two lines of code you've got to change, and you've got to understand the platform a little bit.
Yeah.
So things like, if I'm dealing with a virtual machine,
yeah,
how much access I have to the actual operating system behind the scenes versus the platform, I don't have that access, so how do you work around that?
Mm.
But, you know, really the thing is, we want to scale on demand, always be online, and make sure that the platform is built in such a way that you can do that.
Can you just give us a couple of features of Azure?
So, yeah, I'm just trying to think offhand,
sure,
which ones are going to be like the best to sort,
exactly,
of look at. I mean, the big one that everybody's talking around at the moment is IoT. So IoT
Internet
Hub.
Internet of Things?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Internet of Things.
Yeah.
So IoT Hub is one of our big focus areas at the moment. And just the reason why we talk a lot around it is,
yeah,
just the sheer scale that that can ramp up to.
Yeah.
The simultaneous connections are in the millions. And so you're looking at that from, wow, I can have so many devices in the field just connecting back to this thing and expect that data to actually land on my service and being able to use that data for something more. And so when we look at the IoT, we also look at the other side of it. Well, now I've got this data from this device,
what
do I do with
now?
It?
Yeah.
And so then we go into the Azure machine learning sort of play, and that's where I can start to use this data and obviously build up a historic data pattern. I can use this machine learning to start predict outcomes.
Wow.
So we've got a lot of case studies around where,
yeah,
that has been done with guys with elevator companies. They,
yeah,
service elevators, and they've literally taken the downtime from quite often to,
right,
zero from a mechanical failure,
wow,
perspective. So
because,
yes,
of the machine learning.
Because of the machine learning. They predict which elevators are going to start having problems, and they schedule maintenance for them. So they literally, the downtime now is controlled downtime, because it's, yes, we need to shut this thing down to maintain this part before it breaks.
Yeah, yeah.
So now guys aren't getting stuck in elevators,
wow,
anymore. So that's one example of where the IoT with machine learning has really worked together to really drive a,
yeah,
solution from end to end.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Really, go, if you've not checked out Azure, go and check it out. It's fascinating where Chris is saying, from Internet of Things, where data can be sent to into the machine learning, to stop lifts from stopping. I mean, that is absolutely fantastic, right? So what I'm sensing that you're telling us with how technology can be good for your business, really there are key benefits. It's safe if you do, your safety and security is good if you do your part of it. It's easy to access, single sign-on. It can really help with collaboration with teams, across teams. It can really bring the small businesses a sense of professionalism,
yeah,
that typically they wouldn't have, because they don't have the resources of employing a full-time IT person. And also this whole thing of Azure, which almost you give me the sense that it can take SMEs into the next phase of growth, into the next phase of how the world will work if they go on the journey with Azure. So what are then, in closing, the key considerations if you think of technology, SMEs, and growth, if you want to wrap it together?
Key considerations. So my sort of experience there is, don't let the technology get in the way.
Yes.
So first and foremost, run your business.
Yeah.
And so quite often you get caught up on the coolness of the technology in a way, especially me.
Yeah.
And you sort of got to like go, hang on. What's the value proposition?
That's right.
So first identify that.
Yeah.
We believe Office 365 offers huge value for a business. It's taking that sort of entry into running a business, a digital business, away. We know for a fact that the biggest growth we see at the moment in terms of small business is in cloud.
Yes,
making sure that your business is cloud ready in a sense. So that's where we know the big drive is online presence, being online, so on and so forth.
Right.
But we want to make sure that your entry into that is simple. And so with Office 365 from a sort of platform perspective, just my emails, my infrastructure handled.
Yeah.
And then the Azure play is really there to sort of say, well, can I get my web presence up?
Yeah.
Yes. Like go boot up a WordPress website and they're very easily as you would with any other ISP.
Yeah.
And so that just gives me that online presence. And so those are the two sort of takeaways for me.
Fantastic.
From cloud,
That's fantastic. I want us to just close with a couple of case studies. I know we're showing four. We don't have to cover all of them. But can you just give us some examples of how an SME has used technology as their business or to grow their business?
So, I mean, some of the guys that we sort of worked with, they've leveraged a lot of what Azure has to offer to really get their business up and running in a way that they probably would never have been able to do.
Right.
And so they've been able to scale up to serve their client base very, very quickly. But on top of that, they've been able to try things. And so a lot of people tend to forget the dev process behind the scenes that goes on. And I think that's where Azure really plays a huge role in this, is these guys are able to boot up some environment, whether it's a virtual machine environment, whether it's
on
a PaaS environment, and they can test their case studies. So they can create the stuff on the fly and shut it down again a few minutes later. And it doesn't cost them anything, really. Because you literally pay for what you use. You try and run an environment like that with an ISP, it's just not possible. And so that's generally where most of our companies have benefited, is just being able to get stuff up, running, try it, shut it down. And just repeat that process. And so when you look at an MVP cycle, that is something that's very, very important.
Exactly.
It's that ability to identify what's broken or what needs to change and rapidly change it. So it's very agile and very, very supportive of the new sort of approach to doing these things. I'm trying to think if there's anything specific that companies are doing that might be a bit different. I mean, obviously, they're leveraging different technologies in Azure. So some are leveraging the Azure machine learning. Some are leveraging the Azure streaming services. So I know one particular crowd, they're using both of them. One from a perspective, they're working with the South African Rugby Association to analyze rugby video. And then start to use machine learning on top of that to do a lot more interesting stuff.
You're getting me excited about the technology. Now that's the thing, right?
So, I mean, their platform that they're building on there is incredible. And the way that they're sort of starting to leverage the platform is very, very great to see.
I love that. So there are real SMEs that are using this stuff, that have embraced the technology and just working with it. Go check it out. We've got websites. If you want to go look at it, go look at Mobi. Their site is mobi.com. That's with two I's. Where's My Transport? Fascinating solution that started in South Africa. I now know they're expanding to the rest of the world. And it's really about a big transport management solution for governments literally all over the world. It's fascinating. I can say I'm here sitting in the studio in Johannesburg and I need to get to Roodepoort, which is a suburb down the road here, and it will tell me how to get there with different modes of transport, which is a fantastic one. But the data is very important, obviously, to the municipalities and the provinces and the governments of those countries. Snapcart, make sure to go check that out, as well as Incentivize. If you want to learn more about other SMEs like you who've embraced technology to make a change. So, Chris, in closing, any last words or thoughts that you want to share with the SMEs as encouragement?
I think the big thing there is learn quickly from your failures. Don't be scared to try stuff. And give it your all.
It's good advice. Learn quickly from your failures. Really good advice.
Yeah, and use technology to help that.
Yeah.
Don't just run away from technology.
Yeah.
Use the technology to help with your failures, especially something like an Azure where you can hit reset very quickly.
Exactly.
So
that sounds like an awesome undo button.
Yes.
Big one. Okay.
If it doesn't work, try again.
Exactly. It's been a pleasure to have you in studio, Chris. I really appreciate it. Just for any other references, go check out Office 365. If you want to learn more about Office 365, we've got the link on the screen, microsoftstore.com. We've spoken about Microsoft Azure and machine learning, Internet of Things, etc., etc. Go check it out on azure.microsoft.com. And then how technology, cloud technology, can help your business to grow. Go look at allbusiness.com, a fascinating article there on how you can get cloud technology to help you grow your business. It's been an absolute pleasure to be in studio with you. Make sure to catch all the sessions that are on technology. There are more in the Microsoft Virtual Academy under Small Business to help you start, grow, and accelerate your business. Until next time, it's been a pleasure. Goodbye.